Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Brennan House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brennan brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brennan House.
Good evening. Welcome to the program. Glad you are with us. Joining me tonight will be Tony Shoup. You recognize that name? And then we're going to have with us Tori, I'll have to practice her last name. I just talked to her this afternoon. Senator Sonny Borelli. Don't got to practice that one. I've had him on many times. And then Alex Newman will join us tonight as well. And then a lot of other news, including breaking news tonight. We have breaking news as we are coming on the air. Breaking news coming to us through our friend Patrick Colbeck, former state senator Patrick Colbeck, who's got a book out about the 2020 coup. Patrick Colbeck, here is the tweet. I had to send it over to myself, so it's kind of blurry. Patrick Colbeck says, I hope everyone appreciates gravity of the choice given to at Greg Phillips. Again, sorry it's blurry, but it was a bad copy of a copy. And Catherine Engelbrecht by Judge Hoyt. If they give up their sources, of course, this is the folks behind the movie 2000 Mules. If they give up their sources, they put the lives of these sources and their families at risk. If they don't give up their sources by 10:31, they put their own lives at significant risk in jail. Please pray for protection for them and their sources. Greg Phillips said himself on social media. Whatever, I don't know what social platform this is. Is this Truth or what it is? Doing the right thing isn't always easy, but it's always right. We were held in contempt of court because we refused to burn a confidential informant or our researchers. We go to jail on Monday unless we comply. Folks, this is really the lawlessness we now live in. Lawlessness. Can you believe this? Breaking news tonight. We also have other news tonight you might find interesting. We'll get to this in just a minute with Tony Shoup. Pennsylvania woman sues gubernatorial candidate Josh Shapiro for defamation and political ads. That's Tony Shoup. She'll be with me in just a minute. We also have news tonight, very troubling news tonight. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Where'd it go? Here we go. Look at this. Project Veritas. FBI whistleblower leaks document. Shows agency targeting misinformation as under election crimes ahead of 2022 midterms. So there you go. The headline, bullet points. Document titled 2022 Midterm Elections Social Media Analysis Cheat Sheet. Details what FBI agents should look out for leading up to November 8th. So we live in basically a Gestapo era now. And one of the things the FBI is being told to look out for is anyone that hurts the public's feelings or upsets the public. If you upset the public, the FBI might be coming after you. You're saying, no, you're exaggerating. Well, here it is. This is what the FBI whistleblowers provided. This document. 2022 midterm elections. Social media analysis cheat sheet. What are election crimes? See that? What are election crimes? Let's show that, boys. What are election crimes? Did they see all of this? Okay, 2022 midterm election social media analysis cheat sheet. What are election crimes? You got campaign finance, and then look at there, number two, disinformation. Let's see if we can go in a little bit more on that, and that's about all. Okay, here's what it says. False or inaccurate information intended to mislead others. Disinformation campaigns on social media are used to deliberately confuse, trick, or upset the public. Oh no, you upset the public. Look out, the FBI might be coming to kick in your door and haul you off to a Gestapo camp where you can sit and rot for 2 years, and then they'll handcuff you with zip ties, beat the living tar out of you, take one of your eyes. Oh, wait a minute, you didn't know about that? Happened to one of the January 6 people? Put you in solitary confinement well beyond what the laws allow for. But that's what happens in our in our nation today where there is no law and order. And the FBI has turned into a bunch of Gestapo thugs. They now will knock your door down for putting out what they deem to be disinformation and upsetting the public. That's news tonight. Here's another one. PayPal's public policy director is a current World Economic Forum Young Global Leader, article by Natalie Winters. PayPal's decision to reinstate a controversial $2,500 fine for accounts spreading misinformation comes amidst the company's head of global public policy and research serving as a current World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. Another one. Another article by Natalie Winters. Chinese Communist Party tied group to run midterm election observer program in swing states. What? Yeah. The Carter Center will deploy so-called nonpartisan election observers in Fulton County, Georgia for the upcoming midterms. The group is also combating election misinformation, put that in quotes, in states including Arizona, insisting there is, quote, no evidence of fraud, end quote. It has a long track record of working with Chinese Communist Party-funded influence groups. The Carter Center is partnered with the Chinese Communist Party on election oversight in China. Other prominent partners of this Carter Center include Pfizer, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and George Soros Open Society. So now you realize who it is that doesn't want you talking about election fraud or stolen elections. Go back over to Worldview Report. There's another story on there I wanted to show you if I could find it real quick. Something it reminded me. Let's see, where is it? Let's see. Here it is. They people say no, that's not it. Let me go back. Let me go over here. The Gateway Pundit. Maybe that's where I saw it. The Gateway Pundit. Here we go. All the people that say there's no evidence of voter fraud. Democrat. Wait a minute. A Democrat? Yeah, some of the Democrats have had it with the voter fraud as well. Democrat blows whistle on widespread Orlando area ballot harvesting operation in black communities. That's by my friend Patty McMurray over at 100% Fed Up and also at the Gateway Pundit. Which, by the way, there's so much election fraud you can't keep up. By the way, if you keep scrolling down the page here at the Gateway Pundit, look what you find. High school physical education teacher and father of six put on disciplinary leave for not allowing 14-year-old girl in the boys' locker room. And what are they reporting on? The story we broke right here last night. And the Gateway Pundit, unlike some of the news people, the Gateway Pundit, those guys actually, well, they usually do this. They gave us credit. They do, and they have, and they always do. So thank you, Gateway Pundit. A lot of people just steal our stuff and never give credit. We did get the first interview with him, and he was back on my radio show on 60 Christian stations today. So there you go. This is just some of the items in the news tonight. Let's go to this one. Pennsylvania woman sues gubernatorial candidate Josh Shapiro for defamation in political ads. Subtitle, Tony Shoup, co-founder of Audit the Vote PA, says Shapiro made false statements about her. Well, Tony joins us now. Tony, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Where are you at? Are you still in Pennsylvania these days?
I am. I'm in the Pittsburgh area of Pennsylvania. It's been a while since I've been on your show. I think this was one of the first interviews I actually did. I was sweating like crazy.
Well, you didn't show it. That's what the old commercial from the 70s, which you wouldn't know about that. You weren't around during the 70s. But that's what the old commercial said. You don't let them see you sweat. Okay, so tell me about this lawsuit.
So about 6 weeks ago, I think it was September the 8th, actually, Josh Shapiro is our attorney general. He's running for governor on the Democratic ticket. And he has concocted this theory that if Senator Doug Mastriano, the Republican candidate, wins the governor race on November 8th, that he's going to appoint me as the Secretary of State. Of course, the Secretary of State is the chief election official in charge of elections over the Commonwealth. He's speculating that that person is me, and so he started defaming me and assassinating my character on his political social media pages, his Twitter. That was the first one. He's calling me a conspiracy theorist for pushing Trump's false claims of election fraud. He labeled me as dangerous the first time he did it. It happened two other times.
Well, let me ask you,
Let
me ask you this real quick. Has he hurt your feelings? I hope you're going to say yes, he's hurt your feelings. Has he hurt your feelings?
I feel like a snowflake if I say yes.
No, you got to say yes. Has he hurt your feelings?
He has made me very concerned for the safety of my family.
Well, that's even more problems, but that's even more of a problem. But the reason I'm trying to get you to say yes, he's hurt your feelings, is because apparently if someone says something that hurts your feelings now, you can get a judgment for like $2 trillion against them. Ask Alex Jones.
That's interesting.
Isn't that what happened to him? He hurt their feelings. He said something he didn't agree with. I didn't agree with what he said, but I thought we had this issue of freedom of opinion in America. So isn't that interesting? It's always so left-sided, is it not?
Very much so. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, is only for one side nowadays, apparently, and not the other.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so have you actually filed your lawsuit?
The lawsuit filed today, yes, in Forest County, Pennsylvania. The final straw for me was an email that Shapiro sent out to his entire campaign list, in which, you know, I have little kids. I have three girls, daughters. They're 11, 8, and 5. They're in school. They're in a new school this year. And I haven't met the parents in that school yet, and I don't know where they stand politically. And he has attacked my character. He's trying to destroy my reputation in my home community, because what if some of these parents are registered Democrats getting these emails?
Yeah.
And they start to connect that those are my kids. I mean, he is attacking a private citizen. He's an elected official. I'm still just a private citizen who all I've done is asked questions about the 2020 election, and he's chosen to.
And he's your attorney general.
He is.
Pretty powerful job. That's probably the top law enforcement official in the state of Pennsylvania.
It is. And the lawsuit is chocked full of evidence of why we're questioning the 2020 election. And in some cases, evidence that has hit his desk that he's chosen to ignore. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
And isn't it interesting, all these people that keep asking for there's no proof of election fraud. We even have Democrat whistleblowers coming forward now talking about all the election fraud, including Clinton Curtis.
He was by far my favorite person at the Moment of Truth event we were at.
Mm-hmm. All right. So has the media picked up on this? I know Epoch Times has picked up on it. Here it is on Epoch Times.
Epoch Times, I'm just starting to field some interviews and some questions about it. And so I would expect that to pick up probably quite a bit over the next few days and the next week or two as we head into the November midterms.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that I would like the voters to understand is, this man fit for governor? That he's attacking a private citizen who's upstanding and destroying her credibility in her home state and her community and going to make it very difficult to lead a normal life? Is this the man we want as governor of Pennsylvania? That's the question I hope everybody asks themselves before they cast their vote on November 8th.
So your attorney general is running for governor against Doug Mastriano, right?
Mastriano, yes.
Mastriano, thank you. I slaughter his name every time. I had him on again two nights ago. You think I could learn it, but I only interview 1,000 people a year. But truth. So this guy is actually could become your governor.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. I hope he does, because he's one of us. He's just
no. I'm saying the attorney general who's doing this to you could become your governor.
Oh yes, that's correct. That's correct. The attorney general who is attacking a private citizen, a mother to three small children, could become our governor.
All right. Well, keep us posted. I'm sorry you're going through this. We'll ask our audience. So wait a minute. Let me just, before I let you go, because I want to come back to this. Are you receiving threats against you and your family, physical threats or threats of violence? Or what kind of threats are you receiving?
I've received a pretty nasty message through my Facebook account that went into the lawsuit as an exhibit. A lot of colorful language in there, but somebody telling me I should blow my brains out. That was nice.
And of course, we see the Marco Rubio and DeSantis guy that was going door to door has got a broken jaw and all kinds of other problems. I mean, someone beat the living tar out of him.
Yep.
Because they didn't want
crazy
Republicans.
Times
they
want, we live in.
Didn't want Republicans in their area. So, yeah. But the FBI, did you see this? Did you see the headline I showed? The whistleblower that's showing the new cheat sheet, the FBI order election crimes. If you put out misinformation and spread information that hurts someone's or upsets the public, there it is, upset the public. Disinformation that upsets the public, you could have committed a crime.
I'm not sure how they're going to handle this, though, because they're already throwing shade at the 2024 election. A Hillary Clinton affiliate organization just put out something this week that said if the GOP takes over the House and the Senate, they're going to rig 2024. So I find it interesting that they'll be able to spread claims of election fraud, but the right side can't even question anything.
Look at this. For the following to fall under federal jurisdiction, the following must involve one or more federal candidates on the ballot, election official misconduct, or false voter registration. Per consultation requirement, FBI must consult with FBI headquarters, PCU, and USAO consultant DOJ PIN before proceeding with a full or grand jury investigation involving election matters. So, hey, FBI guys, you got to be sure to check with the FBI headquarters if you don't like the political statements of someone. You have to first check with the FBI headquarters before you can convene a grand jury. But if the FBI headquarters says you can run over them, bash their door down, and drag them out like a rabid dog and throw them in a J6 style cell, and then allow people to zip tie them and beat them so bad you take an eye out, then by all means go forward. But make sure you get the FBI HQ to sign off on this. But yeah, be sure to go after anyone that upsets the public. We cannot have anybody upsetting the public. That's unallowed in America. You can't upset anybody.
Walking on eggshells.
Yeah, we are. You know what's really ironic, Tony, is if you look to the right, look at that. They remind these people what about the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. And so, I mean, how stupid is this? After they're telling you we have to be careful of, quote, misinformation and upsetting the public. But then again, Show this, Reagan. They want to remind the agents about the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. When did this agency ever care about the First Amendment and Fourth Amendment? They don't care. It's like Terry Turchie. Terry Turchie, the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, said on video, on this show, in our town hall last November, we are no longer under the rule of law. These clowns are making it up as they go. Closing comment?
Never thought I'd live to see it. Honestly thought we'd be raptured out of here before things like this started to happen. But apparently God has other plans.
Apparently so. I remember back in about 2015 saying to my wife, if we're still here in 2020, I'll be very disappointed. I said that to her several times that year. If we're still here in 2020, I'll be very disappointed. And here we are, 2022, almost 2023. I am a little disappointed, though. That's a funny comment. That's probably one of the funniest comments this month. I thought we'd be raptured out of here before then. All right, I got to see what kind of feedback that's getting on the website tonight. Tony Shoup, do you have a website you want to promote?
I do, actually. If you would like to support me and my work, I have a Substack account that I write. I've told my story. It's tonyshoup.substack.com. That's just me. I go from mom to patriot. I go by from mom to patriot on Substack. If you want to support the work I do with a nonprofit that's advocating for transparency in the election process, that is auditthevotepa.com.
Auditthevotepa.com. Tony, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you getting the truth out, Brennan. It means a lot.
Absolutely. You call us anytime you need us. Tony Shoup checking in. All right, folks. Tony Shoup checking in. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And right after this break, we'll be back with Tory. We have Senator Sonny Borelli still, Alex Newman, and I just got confirmation on the ever-operating phone where people are blowing us up constantly with new information and breaking news. With the breaking news related to Greg and Engelbrecht, who helped put out 2,000 mules, being threatened with jail time for not giving up their confidential sources. I'll be joined by former state senator Patrick Kolbeck. We've just squeezed him into the broadcast. Full broadcast schedule tonight. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110-plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Joining me now is Tori Moraes. Tori, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing great, Tori. Thank you for joining us. All right, so we go from Tony Shoup. I don't know if you saw the headline with Tony Shoup in the Epoch Times. Pennsylvania woman sues gubernatorial candidate Josh Shapiro for defamation and public political ads. So that's going on. This is a guy going after a gal. What's going on in your state?
I can feel for her with the attorney generals and the defamation part. In my state, I attempted to run on the Republican ticket, and I was actually blocked by the incumbent, who's a Republican, and I successfully got on as an independent. And currently, right now, I'm in the Supreme Court of Ohio, and I have filed a suit as an independent for two reasons. One, that as an independent candidate on the state ballot for November 8th for Secretary of State, I should have the right to observe the polls, just like Democrats and Republicans go to the back room, look at the machines, right? Look at the ballots, which they're not doing, which is already in violation. SCOTUS a few years ago had told the state of Ohio that they must afford the same rights. But the second one is more interesting. There's a law in Ohio that says that those that are on that are candidates have the right to inspect the counting of the votes, not the ballots. The vote. And considering that the votes are being counted in these machines in a little black box that has counting software, I have requested from the Ohio Supreme Court to provide me access to that code so that I can see that it is counting ballots one for one. And the decision should have been out on Friday. It's now Thursday, 10 days to the elections, and they still have yet to respond. Now, we use federal questions, which means if they decide to go with the first one, which is already too late, so they have caused me harm in my campaign by doing that, but not the second, because they're federal questions, it is a rocket docket to the Supreme Court of the United States to discuss these machines.
Wow. Now, so just so everybody understands, you're running for Secretary of State in Ohio as an independent. So you're on the ballot.
Yes, I am, because unfortunately, we've learned the hard way as conservatives that not every Republican is really a Republican. And the incumbent in my state is anything but a conservative. He doesn't stand up for conservative values. He believes these machines are necessary. And because President Trump won, he alleges that there's nothing wrong with the machine. But the actual fact is, and while doing research, as many of us have done since 2020, I discovered that the Secretary of State in Ohio was actually the first one that handed over the whole cyber infrastructure of the state of Ohio to the Department of Homeland Security. That means that elections and everything that goes through Ohio.gov is monitored, watched, maintained, and data is used appropriately as federal laws by DHS, which means our elections are actually quasi-federalized. And considering that the legislators here in Ohio passed a law allowing him to be not only Secretary of State, but also a DHS advisor, he wears both a federal and a state hat, which should alarm everyone because the lines of our data sovereignty in our states are blurring. The federal government has unfettered access to all the information. And this is how they do it. Remember, it was Kemp, before he became governor, that caught DHS in the machines in 2016, if you remember. That's quite fascinating because people keep forgetting that. And
are you talking about Brian Kemp?
Yes, in 2016, he actually was on CNN and said that he caught Russians in the machines. And then the next day, he said, no, it was DHS. And then he filed a scathing letter to the Office of the Inspector General asking why DHS was in the election machines during the elections. And that was a violation of Georgia state sovereignty. But, you know, then he became governor and he kind of got amnesia about that. So it all went wayside.
I wonder if we could find a video of that. Is that still available?
Yes, I should have it somewhere. I mean, it'll take me a couple minutes to manifest that. But I think one of your own reporters on Frank Speech, Millie Weaver, had put that in a video a couple of years ago. She had reported the fact that he had stated that DHS was in the machines. And if we remember, on June 6, 2017, it was Barack Obama that had Jay Johnson declare that elections are critical infrastructure, and this has allowed DHS under the Patriot Act to encroach on state sovereignty, which is a growing concern considering we are in the age of information. And Secretary of State's, while they're in charge of elections, they are also in charge of information of a state, and cyber infrastructure is key, especially in this day and age. And we are seeing how careless they are and that the lines are being blurred day by day to no longer having sovereign states.
Yeah, I think I just found that clip. Let's see if this is it. Yeah. Here, guys, throw the audio on this. Let's see if this is it. Here, you guys ready? Ready? Here we go.
President Obama has asked U.S. intelligence agencies to get to the bottom of alleged election hacking, and he wants a report before he leaves office. Meantime, the federal government responds to accusations that it tried to hack into state computers here in Georgia.
As the campaign entered its final phase, the Homeland Security Department offered states federal resources to secure voting machines and voter registration databases. Georgia's Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, was among a small group who declined the help.
I was criticized quite a bit about that, but what they were offering was really out-of-the-box corporate solutions that some states needed. We did not, because we were already using our own solutions.
On Election Day, the Homeland Security Department did not report unusual cyber activity, but according to this letter from Kemp to the Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson on November 15th, there was an attempted breach of the Georgia Secretary of State's network linked to a computer with a Homeland Security address. Kemp writes, "At no time has my office agreed to or permitted Homeland Security to conduct penetration testing or security scans of our network."
Could be a bad actor in the administration. investigation. It could be something else. I'm keeping an open mind to that, but I'm very confident that the IP address was a Department of Homeland Security address.
Homeland Security has said it wasn't them. The incident comes as the administration considers whether the electoral process should be deemed critical infrastructure and given the same federal security protections as the power grid. And
well, that's interesting. I had never seen that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you. Well, many of the states around the United States are actually throwing away information data sovereignty, which data is the new gold in this day and age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is, no one is actually fixing it. You know, I urge many people to, when they're going through primaries and through elections, to observe who funds their candidates. Because my Secretary of State is funded by all the companies that have caused so much pain and suffering to many of us. Pfizer, right? Les Wexner, Epstein, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The people that fund some of these Republicans, we got to be paying attention. And I personally just ran because I know these machines. This was part of my work as a private contractor. You know, we don't always go guns a-blazing when we take over nations. We go in and select their leaders with election software or conduct their elections. And the last elections that I helped conduct were in 2014 in Ukraine. So I'm very well versed on how these machines work and how they operate. And one thing we do need to understand is as technology evolves, we just need to keep a few things simple. And that's our vote, because it is a fundamental right where we can exercise our voice and be represented appropriately. We can have everything else go digital, but some things you just don't reinvent, because we want to keep them extremely safe without questions and doubt, so that way we can move forward as a society united. Because right now, machines are polarizing us.
Absolutely. So will you keep us posted on your lawsuit all the way up to the Ohio Supreme Court?
Yes, of course. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. You want to promote a website?
MarisForOhio.com is my website, and I have been spending all my campaign funds on lawsuits, and I will take this all the way up to SCOTUS if when necessary, because it we need to get this done. Someone needs to open up these machines and see the truth.
Absolutely.
We need to get rid of it.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Maris checking in. Thank you, Tony. All right.
Thank you.
Check out her website. We'll keep you posted on that story going all the way up to the Ohio Supreme Court and maybe all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Joining me now is Senator Sonny Borelli. He is no stranger to this show. He's been on here so many times. Before he gets on, let me just remind you real quick, we still have yet to come tonight also Alex Newman and Patrick Colbeck. If you appreciate what we're doing here, folks, remember, we need your support. We are a listener-supported program. We've been talking about it quite a bit on the Worldview Report and on my radio show. We got about 25 days of diesel left, folks. That's what they're saying. And even mainstream outlets are picking this story up now. We've been on it for several days now. But this is not only trucking, folks, but let's not forget the barges that run on diesel. Let's not forget the railroads and the engines that run on diesel. So this will impact railroad. This will impact barges. And this will impact trucking. This is a serious problem. Not to mention all the other serious problems we have in our just-in-time inventory, right? So again, this is one of the reasons we offer the resources that we do. Let's quickly go over there, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. We, as you know, have emergency freeze-dried food. We've been distributors of emergency freeze-dried food since 2016. Here's your emergency food supplies. Click all. We've added some new kits. We've added the Ready Hour Ultimate Breakfast Kit. We've added the Ready Hour Mega Protein with real meat. Yeah, not synthetic, real meat. We've added the Ready Hour Fruit, Veggie, and Snack Mix, okay? We've also got the gluten-free. You guys have asked for those. We got that. We got the one-year emergency food supply, four-week. We have the 72-hour test kit if you want to try it out, the three-month emergency food kit, the six-month. You can get it all there. Now, if you want to get, I would say, 2 years or more, I'd urge you to order over the phone, and Libby, who handles all of our orders, will cut you a deal on shipping when you order 2 years or more. And believe you me, a lot of people are doing it. Remember that 9 pallets I was telling you about we got a couple weeks ago? Gone. Another 9 pallets coming in early next week. So there you go. Get your order in while supplies are available, because I can't promise you that they won't go to the place where they've gone before, which is weeks and weeks and weeks of waiting. So get in your order while you can get it. It's a food insurance plan. It comes, by the way, in these buckets. I have one right behind me, a couple of them behind me. It comes in these kind of buckets. So it's very easy to put these on a shelf, in a closet, just a room temperature room. You open them up, and you'll find all your contents in there. It's very easy to do. If you open it up, you'll find that you have a lot of pouches like this. So this happens to be Maple Grove oatmeal. And then, of course, on the back, it tells you how to, you know, you got to boil the water. It tells you all the instructions. So this is part of the 72-hour kit. The mac and cheese. I know, Delta, you think it's food. Well, it is food, but it's not the kind of food you think. Creamy chicken-flavored rice. Whenever she hears packaging, yeah. It's homestyle potato soup. Homestyle potato soup. So, what do you think, Delta? You approve? Huh? Smell good? It doesn't smell quite as good as this coffee. This keeps smelling the my pillow coffee over here. Woo, that smells good. But anyway, it is very easy to use. So that's the 72-hour test kit right there. You can get if you want to try it out. Let's put that over there. All right. Let's go back to the website. You can find it all there. Also, remember, folks, you need to think through the process. What happens if your electricity or power goes out? How are you going to boil water? Have you thought through this? Do you have the right kind of pans to do this over an open fire? Probably if you have a gas stove, you do. You've already got some of those kind of pans. But look up here under emergency supplies. Click that. You'll see the Titan Solo Stove. We just got 50 of those in because those are going constantly. These, by the way, make great Christmas gifts. A lot of guys would like this for cooking. I mean, for camping. But this is not a big, In fact, I have one. I thought I had one on the floor over here. Well, now I'm dropping the freeze-dried food, aren't I, Delta? I thought I had one of those camping things on the floor over here. They're not really big. That's the nice thing about it is it's easy to store this stuff. But you look, go back to the screen there. You see you can cook over an open fire. And then we actually have the pot. Emergency supply. There's the pot, the two-pot set. So think about how you'd boil the water, mix it, and you got to think about those emergency supplies. We've added in some other emergency supplies as well. You can find all those. We just got about 50 of these in, the solar torch, lantern torch. 50 of those came in today. So a lot of people are stocking up on their supplies, and well, they should. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. It's all there. Check it out. By the way, you can still get my book, Grave Influence, for like $5, as low as $3.99. Same thing with Marxianity, $4.99. These are 300-page books at my cost. Those make great Christmas gifts. In this economy, huh? Let me tell you something. If you're looking for good Christmas gifts in this economy, you check out Grave Influence and Marxianity, as low as $3.99 when you get it in quantities. If you just want to get one, you can get both of them here, Grave Influence and Marxianity, for under $10. These at one time were $20 a piece. So you're getting $40 retail value for $9.98. Why? Because I agreed to let other printings of Marxianity and Grave Influence go out if we sold them at our cost, because we want to get the content out there. And we have moved thousands upon thousands of these, but we still have some left. If you'd like to get those as Christmas gifts, Marxianity, Grave Influence at our cost, that's also at WVWTVstore.com. We'll plug some other stuff later, as this is how we keep everything going. But
in March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum openly in their own documents is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information, that's no obligation, is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge?
Now we're joined by State Senator Sonny Borelli. Senator, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you tonight?
I'm in Phoenix. I'm in the occupied territory of the state of Maricopa.
Okay.
I'm in the condo that I have to rent here year-round.
Okay. Now, you were just in the South, right?
Yeah, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was getting an award because the National Electric Co-ops, I got an award for it. So I went there for, you know, 5-10 minutes presentation and award ceremony, and yeah, got back late last night. So,
well, yeah. Congratulations on that award. You were only about 3 hours from me, but I understand you're busy, a lot to do, get in, get out. I wanted to have you on because you got some news and things going on in your state. Tell us what's happening, Senator.
Yeah, Cochise County is on fire now. I mean, it's amazing. Cochise County is going to actually be another part of Arizona history. I mean, they're known for the big gunfight in Cochise County, because that's where Tombstone is. But right, the Board of County Supervisors voted to do a hand count of the ballots for the general election. And of course, the major pushback from the left is just, you know, very telling. The Secretary of State's office threatened to sue. Their county attorney said he would not defend the supervisors or the county recorder if they went forward with this because they believe it's illegal. Well, there's nothing in the statutes that makes it illegal for them to do a hand count. As a matter of fact, the machines are not mandated to be used. It's all may, it's not shall, this kind of things. But, you know, they two out of the three supervisors, they had the courage to stand up and say, no, we're going to do this because we got to make sure that our elections are free and fair and accurate. So if it takes them a hand count to do that, that's what we're going to do. They're not doing a 100% hand count of the entire ballot, the whole down ballot, but they're going to be doing a hand count of all the precincts, and they're going forward with this. So they're not being deterred. They're not cowing down to the threats by the Secretary of State. And now you need both parties to be there. Not more than, 75% of one party can be part of the hand count. So, which means the Democrats have to contribute and be part of this. Now, we are automatically assuming that they're just going to boycott it because that's what they do. They obstruct and they resist and they block. They don't want to. They would rather protect the big, the big evil corporations. Remember how I always say? They're always going against the court. They're always going against the corporations. But now they would rather back a corporation over the will of the people to ensure that their ballot is counted as cast legally. So it's just amazing the pushback. It's very telling on the position that they're taking. So it's ridiculous. What did we do before the machines? We did it by hand. Simple as that.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's what the county wants to do. They want to make sure that this is done accurately. They have plenty of volunteers to do it. So the, you know, the time and resources that they're saying they'll be expended, these are all volunteers. It'll be under the supervision of the county election officials and the county recorder. So I don't see a problem with that, and the people don't see a problem with that.
So the headline out of Arizona tonight is another hand count in another county to verify the accuracy of the machines.
Right. This is all Cochise County. Right.
What else?
Cochise County.
What else is going on in Arizona? I think you got a governor's race going on there, don't you?
Yeah, we got a heck of a governor's race going on. Carrie Lake is on fire. I love how she goes on and takes on the mainstream media. Actually, they try to take her on. And that's more like it, because she like reaches in the lion's mouth and yanks on their tongue, and she's not playing their propaganda garbage. And that's what it is. And of course, you got Katie Hobbs. You know, it is. We're getting into Halloween season, so I think it's fair to say Katie Hobgoblin is, you know, accusing the Lake campaign of burglarizing her Katie Hobbs' campaign office, which is ridiculous. And the local media is just lapping that up, and they're trying to make accusations against Carrie Lake's campaign, which is ridiculous, because no decent Republican wants to go nowhere near the Democrat party office, or for that matter, Democrat campaign office. You just don't want to get stuff, you know, on you. So you always walk the other side of the block.
How is our friend Mark Fincham doing?
Mark's doing great. You know, the Democrats are spending a ton of money going after him. And, you know, all the ads that his opponent's doing, they're all negative ads, just bashing Mark. But they're not saying anything what Mr. Fontes is going to do, because he really has no record to really run on. I mean, back in 2018, they did all kinds of shenanigans with the 2018 election. He got spanked by the supervisors. You know, he tried to inject 200,000 mail-in ballots without requesting them. He was just going to inject them in the system. So he's got a very dismal record of getting anything accomplished other than creating an atmosphere where the election could be compromised. And I believe he's at the core of it. And he's part of the inside crew that made these things happen in 2018 and 2020. And by the way, listen, just because we had the Senate audit done in September last year and we had the audit report came out, did not mean that we stopped investigating. Okay, we continue to investigate and keep digging into the data that we do have and re-examining other data that we have. And let me just kind of give you just a little bit of a taste that we've got so far that's going to be coming out. I mean, this is just a taste, okay?
Okay.
600 people not in the voter rolls until December of 2020. So that means 609 people voted in the November election were not added to the voter rolls until December of the same year. 1,227 voters were flagged dead in the Secretary of State's website. According to them, according to the Secretary of State, over 1,400 people were flagged dead. It was statewide. That's statewide accounting. That's accounting for 33,000 votes in the primaries and the general election since 2018 general election and the 20, even through to the 22 primary. People voted with canceled voter IDs. That's amazing. Their voter registration was canceled, but they voted. How the heck does that happen? So we also had 1,300 voters in the Maricopa County appeared in the database, were never in the SOS website in the voter rolls at all. So these are the kind of things that we're finding. We're having, here's an example. I'm just going to throw this, it's a fictitious name just to kind of give you an example of just how screwed up the system is. Let's just use the name David Eisenhower. David Eisenhower, on his ballot application on the envelope, he signed his name. So when they got to verify the signatures. So when they go to verify the signatures, Bell County will pull up the voter registration form for David Eisenhower. Well, then you look at the signature, It's not David Eisenhower. It's somebody like a Jeffrey Garcia. Okay. So it doesn't even look like a close signature at all, because it's not a close signature. It's a different person's signature on the voter registration, which means the DMV, MDV, when they cut and paste the names on these voter registration forms to get them in the database, it screwed this all up. This is all the reason why Proposition 309 needs to pass here in Arizona, because that tightens up voter ID, the voter registration, the whole to identify to make sure that when they are curing these ballots for signatures, that the signatures are verified properly. We have thousands of ballots that you can obviously look. Any amateur can look at these signatures. You don't need to be an FBI signature analyst professional to identify to say the signature on the ballot does not match the signature on the voter registration, because it is a complete forgery. I mean, and that's going to be coming out soon. I'm just trying to figure out the venue and how we're going to be able to do this, because the American public need to know this and they need to see this, because the lying shame stream media is nothing more than a propaganda machine, and they're part of the conspiracy to cover up.
Absolutely.
All the screws ups from 2020 election. We had, we had documented proof in the chain of custody documentation on drop boxes. You know, you can only account for 183,988 signatures or ballots from the drop boxes, but then you're still missing 200,000 that's not documented. Where did they come from? These are the kind of things that were turned over to the Attorney General's office. So all these idiots out there that are saying there was no evidence, you didn't turn anything over. We turned everything over to the Attorney General's office. Their election integrity unit had it. Their investigators had it. And those are supposed to be law enforcement types. And why they did nothing with that, I have no idea. I don't even want to speculate, but it's just completely disgusting. So when the mainstream media, I call it the shame stream media, because they're nothing more than lying propagandists. They create a story and then they go with it. They regurgitate the same story. It's over and over and over. They keep perpetuating it. The big lie is that that election was free and fair. Technically, you really can't decide and determine who won, because there was so much of a mess. You cannot legitimately, with any kind of clear conscience, declare a clear cut winner.
In fact, look at this. Look at this headline tonight. Democrat scheme to alienate election denier GOP candidates backfires spectacularly. Democrats' attempts to dehumanize their election denier GOP opponents is backfiring spectacularly, as a new report from Nate Silver's 538 reveals there are, quote, well over 100 midterm GOP candidates who have denied the legitimacy of the 2020 election have a strong chance of winning their race. So clearly the public is with us on this issue, because they're with the candidates that are saying, I deny the legitimacy of the last election.
Right. I got cornered by one reporter. He called me an election denier. And I said, well, okay, well, let's just analyze that. Was there an election? Yeah. I mean, I got elected. Was Biden sworn in? Yes, he was sworn in. Is he in the White House? Yes, he's in the White House. Has inflation gone from 1.5% to almost 9%? Yeah. Are gas prices through the roof? Are they more than doubled since Biden took office? So, there was an election. I'm not an election denier, so I'll say, yeah. By the way, we have a wide open border with, you know, tons and thousands of people coming through. We have an armed invasion of drug smugglers coming through, and human traffickers and sex traffickers. Fentanyl is gone crazy. With the police here in Phoenix, they confiscated and seized 8 million fentanyl pills. You know, that is a weapon of mass destruction. It's a chemical weapon. In the Marines, in the military, we had biological, chemical, we had NBC, nuclear, biological, chemical. Well, you know what? We know what nuclear is. We know what biological is. I think that's what COVID was, a biological weapon. And now we have a chemical weapon, and it's coming from a foreign country being smuggled in through Mexico. Yeah, I'd say we have a problem, and we didn't have that kind of a problem of this magnitude when Trump was in office. So I think there was an election, yeah.
Absolutely. Look at this. I've been sharing this all night. Project Veritas is reporting an FBI whistleblower leaks a document. Look at this, Senator. This is, I guess, a document being handed out to FBI. 2022 midterm election social media analysis cheat sheet. What are election crimes? You go down here under disinformation, you find out false or inaccurate information. Who decides that? Intended to mislead others. Disinformation campaigns on social media are used to deliberately confuse, trick, or upset the public. So if you upset the public, you might be guilty of an election crime now, according to the FBI, Senator.
Well, it's just amazing. And I'll tell you what, like I said, our investigation still isn't over. We had over 600 violent sex offenders who voted in the 2020 election, still under investigation to make sure that they had their rights restored. Some of them had their rights restored, but if they didn't have the rights restored, how do they register to vote? So we're examining that to see if they did register to vote, you know, legally, fine. But if they didn't register to vote, somebody else did it for them, which means now they're a victim of identity theft. You know, we had 207 people who voted in Arizona and other states. That's been documented. Matter of fact, we shared that information with the people in Florida. Our elections using 2020 ballot envelopes were referenced and are also being used as another way to verify a fresh signature. So if you had a forged signature on a 2020 ballot envelope, and they go to use that to compare the latest and greatest signature, how do we know that that's really the right one? Look, we already know that we had ballots that went through the system with no signature on it, and obviously a little check marks in the corner. We had one ballot envelope we looked at. It actually said could not sign due to COVID.
Huh.
Well, that makes no sense. Well, who wrote that on there?
They could write that on there, but they couldn't sign.
Exactly. And, you know, so we'll be in touch soon. And, you know, we're going to show this to the world. I just got to figure out how to get it out there and what platform we use. But we need to fix our voter registration system. The vote by mail system has been compromised. We need to almost go back to square one, where you got to request an absentee ballot. And we have to make it, you have to be able to qualify for it. We have a lot of people who like to vote early, vote by mail. That's fine. But we really need to clean up the voter rolls when we have to verify that that is your ballot, that nobody's stealing your name, your ballot, your identity, and voting in your place. Because you know what? One illicit ballot actually neutralizes and cancels out a legitimate ballot. So this is the currency of an American citizen, is a right to vote.
Absolutely.
The elections do not belong to the elected. They belong to the people, and they have a right to scrutinize their election.
Absolutely. You have a website you want to promote, Senator?
Just go to AZGOP and vote the entire down ticket. You know, we need to get a Prop 309 passed, which is the voter ID and voter registration, that whole reform. That has to pass, man. That's got to pass overwhelmingly.
All right. Thank you, as always, for being with us, Senator, and all you're doing.
And we need Mark Fitchum, we need Kerry Lake, we need Abe Habedey, and we got to get rid of the space monkey, Mark Kelly, out of the Senate, and we need to send Mr. Blake there.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I'm already elected, so I didn't have a general, I didn't have a primary. I voted for myself, a friend of mine voted for me, so I just won by a landslide.
Senator Sonny Borelli, checking in. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Hire a vet.
Absolutely. Senator Sonny Borelli, retired Marine, state senator from the great state of Arizona. Before we go to Alex Newman from The New American with new news, and then Patrick Kolbeck coming on board tonight with the breaking news that a judge is ordering Kathleen Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips to turn over their sources, their research, and researchers, I guess, dealing with 2,000 mules. And if they don't do that, according to the tweets we're reading tonight from Greg, October 31st, they don't do it by then, they could go to jail. Contempt of court. Let's go to this headline or this website here. This is how, again, Christmas is coming. This is partly how we fund everything, folks. WVWTVstore.com, a while ago, we showed you freeze-dried food, big part of our general operating budget. I've had it since 2016. Actually, I've had it since 2013. I've had freeze-dried food for my family since 2013. I've been a distributor of it since 2016 because our audience asked for it. It's a big part of our general operating budget. So thank you for buying that there at WVWTVstore.com. This is another way that you can help yourself and help us at the same time. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code B66. B66. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers. Here are your slippers as low as $49.98. Was about $140, now $49.98 when you use the promo code B66. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history, as low as $29.98 when you use the promo code B66. The most comfortable pillow ever owned, as low as $19.98 when you use that promo code B66. The mattress topper, the most comfortable mattress topper you'll ever own, save 40%, as low as $167.99 when you use that promo code B66. The MyPillow biggest bath sale ever, six-piece towel set, as low as $39.99 when you use that promo code B66. Get the robes. They're thick. They're luxurious. I own one. I love them. My slippers, I love them. Check it all out, all the other things we have there. You can even order a mattress, folks. You can even order a mattress through the mail. It'll show up to you in a box like that. Look at that. You can order it through the mail. They also have the bed frames. Did you know that? They actually have the bed frames, and these frames go up and down. You know what I'm talking about, the adjustable bed frames? So don't forget to go there. Also, go over to mystore.com, mystore.com, the home for America's entrepreneurs. You get the best coffee ever, the MyPillow coffee, called My Coffee by Mike Lindell, My Coffee. Got the coffee pods. Get it in light, medium, or dark roast, non-MGO, MGO, no GMO. Sorry, let me get that right. No GMO and organic, certified organic, no pesticides sprayed on. Whew, smells good. No pesticides on the coffee. This, by the way, makes a great Christmas gift. You can get a subscription. You can actually choose a subscription, so they get a bag every month. Whole bean to grind themselves, or already ground, or the coffee pods. You can get them a subscription every month. That's a great Christmas gift right there. You'll love it. You'll love it, love it, love it. What else do we have? All kinds of products here. As you go down the page, you'll see them. There's my energy drink. My all-natural energy drink and supplement drink, bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, red wine extract. In fact, I saw a study this week about the benefits of pine bark extract. Another big study's out. Again, I've known that for years, developed this with a FDA-approved facility several years ago. You can check it out yourself. You can check it out yourself there on the website. Here's our little spot. You got any sound with it, Logan? But there's our little spot, Extractgevity.
Extractgevity supports a healthy heart, strong immunity, skin, hair, and nails, cognitive health, and cellular health. This all-natural energy drink is loaded with antioxidants. But don't take our word for it. Do your own research to find the benefits of red wine extract, bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, and vitamin C. Brannon credits Extractgevity in part for his abundance of energy and good health. Order your 30-day supply now at mystore.com. Be sure to use the promo code on the screen for a generous discount.
And
Extractgevity, your all-natural source for energy and good health. Find it at mystore.com.
And, of course, the code to use on this one is B66, B66. It comes in a powder. You put it in water, and you stir it up, and you drink it. My wife brings it to me every morning, and a lot of times in the afternoon, start feeling sluggish, I have some in the afternoon, because it is an all-natural energy supplement drink. Check it out. Again, you're going to take my word for it. Go check the benefits of bilberry extract, grapeseed extract, red wine extract, pine bark extract. Check it out yourself. Loaded with antioxidants. It's at mystore.com. Use that promo code B66. I always throw out that disclaimer. This has not been evaluated or approved by the FDA. It's not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Go back to mystore.com if you would, please. So just go there to mystore.com. Check out all the products. Keep clicking more products, and they just keep popping up, folks. This is the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. Do your Christmas shopping there, please. Use the promo code B66, whether we're talking mystore.com, mypillow.com, promo code B66. You get savings. We get credit. Joining me now is Alex Newman of The New American. TheNewAmerican.com is the website, TheNewAmerican.com. He also is a broadcaster with us here at Lindell TV. Alex, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. Thank you so much, Brandon.
Well, what's the latest you're covering? Because I see one big article over here at the New American. Ahead of UN Climate Summit, Kerry and World Economic Forum argue U.S. must pay reparations. That looks like a brand new article posted by you today.
Yep, just went up momentarily. Just moments ago. And it's crazy what's happening here. The fake media in America is really avoiding any coverage of this climate circus like the plague, because they know, the establishment knows, that if Americans knew what was going on here, if they knew what these globalists were planning, if they knew the insane rhetoric that comes out of these climate conferences, the whole thing would be shut down immediately by American voters and by the American Congress. So, you know, they cover this stuff in other countries. They don't cover it much in America, but I'm going to be focusing a lot on this in the next few weeks. I'm actually headed over to Egypt very soon to go to this UN climate summit. So I'll hopefully be doing some live broadcasts at the Sentinel Report right here on Lindell TV on Frank's speech. But this is huge, Brandon. What they're saying in this article, I have the links to where they're saying it. They're saying that because America, because Europe, because Japan emitted more CO2 into the atmosphere as we were becoming wealthier, then everything that happens, every flood, every tornado, every hurricane, every wildfire, everything is our fault, and we owe reparations to the kleptocrats and the third world dictators that have impoverished their populations. And so they expect us to pay big sums of money. Kerry has already volunteered that he's open to that possibility. He's, of course, the climate czar for the Biden regime. And the European Union has already said very openly they are intending to pay these climate reparations even as their economy collapses in on itself and people get ready to freeze to death this winter. So it's insane. And, of course, it goes back to the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum has been saying for a long time, so has the UN, that we need to pay big sums of money. And ultimately what it's about, Brandon, is that it takes a lot of money to keep this many people going along with a fraud like this. You know, the third world kleptocrats, they'll participate if you pay them big money. The NGOs, the rent-a-mob protesters, it takes billions and billions of dollars to keep this charade going. And so that's why they need our money. That's why they're calling it now reparations and loss and damage.
Good grief. Tell me, what are your thoughts are since we've talked last? Because you and I were talking about it so long ago, and now it's become quite mainstream. We were talking about food shortages, manufactured food shortages. Now, of course, we've been talking the last week or so about this report that we only have 25 days left in America of diesel, which, of course, again, that means diesel barges, you know, they do run on diesel, most of them, the diesel engines on those barges getting up and down the rivers. Then you got the issue of course, diesel trucks, and then railroad. Many of those railroad engines require diesel. So that all three of these legs of the transportation system could come to a screeching halt. And you got Joe Biden giving away more of our strategic reserves. What are your thoughts about this?
It's all engineered, Brandon. And as you mentioned, you and I have been sounding the alarm about this for a very long time. I actually went back into the records, and the first time I very publicly sounded the alarm about the coming food shortages was when we were going from 2019 to 2020. At the end of 2020, I put out this big thing warning everybody about this. And now it's here. Right now it's being talked about on Fox News. Now you've got Joe Biden going on television and saying the food shortages are coming. And they're going to be real. So, you know, this should have been obvious from a mile away. I'm sure when it hits, I'm sure when the grocery store shelves start showing up empty, they're going to blame capitalism. They're going to blame greedy grocery store owners. They're going to blame the free market. They're going to blame right-wing conservatives. They're going to blame hoarders who are stockpiling too much food. And then now we need the government to go after them. But I want everybody to hear me and hear me very clearly. This was 100% engineered. It was absolutely caused deliberately. In fact, to try to cause a food shortage in a country like ours that has so much agricultural land, so much fertile land, so much technology, so much capital, so many resources, is a very, very difficult job. It took an enormous amount of planning to make this happen. It took an enormous amount of sabotage, enormous amount of government policy to make this happen. And it's coming. It's coming very quickly. And so I would urge people, first of all, don't be misled by the liars. This was deliberately engineered by the very same people who are going to offer you the solution. It's just like Frederick Bastiat said in the famous French philosopher and lawmaker. He said these totalitarians, they concoct the poison and the antidote in the same laboratory. And that's exactly what we're dealing dealing with here. The same people that created the poison, the food shortage, are the same people that are going to offer you the solutions. And what we're witnessing is the precursor to the Build Back Better. We all heard that Biden and all the world leaders and the UN and everybody said, we're going to build back better. Of course, you can't build anything back unless the original thing is destroyed. So we're entering the destruction phase or the acceleration of the destruction phase. I can guarantee you that by the time this is all over, they're going to try to have us eating bugs.
They already are. I actually got somebody that gave me a packet of crickets and all kinds of stuff at the Ozarks conference, and I showed them on TV. They brought them to me a show. This stuff being manufactured and sold, and they're opening up these plants in Illinois and other places to manufacture cricket food for us to consume. Tell me about this article you wrote October 10th, Digital ID, Key Part of Great Reset, Neo-Fatalism.
Yeah, so the whole Great Reset agenda, it's a total transformation of everything. But one of the things that is absolutely critical is bringing us all under control. And they have several digital mechanisms that are going to be a critical part of that. Digital IDs are a big part of that. And there are other parts, right? The central bank, digital currencies, and so on. But focusing in just on the digital IDs, as Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, says, at the end of this fourth industrial revolution, we are going to have a fusion of our digital and our biological identities.
That's really, really good, Alex.
Thank you. my German Klaus Schwab accent. But they're really serious. They want every element of your life stored on this digital ID. So your driver's license, your health information, your vaccines, your education. And it will serve really as your social credit score. And so this is the direction they're moving in very rapidly. And I think it's not the end goal, right? They've already been very clear about the end destination here is they want everybody eventually to have a microchip. And that's where your digital money is going to be. That's where your digital ID is going to be. That's how you're going to get into your house. And that's how you're going to get access to everything. That's what they're planning anyway, but the digital IDs are a key component, and it is coming at us like a freight train, Brandon. They're already unveiling them. They're rolling out pilot projects in Utah, in Mississippi, in Maryland. Ethiopia is now moving ahead with this. I mean, it's happening all over the world. It's funded by Bill Gates of hell, the Rockefeller Foundation, and all the rest of the clowns. So beware, folks. It's coming.
So what are some other new articles you have coming out that have not been published yet you can give us a sneak peek of?
Well, I just had one other one published today at the Epoch Times. I highly encourage people to read it. It's one of those articles that I love to write because so much of what you and I unfortunately have to focus on, Brandon, is sounding the alarm about the evil that is just running wild, right? In our defense, Paul told us in Ephesians 5:11, we should have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness, but we should expose them and reprove them. So praise the Lord, we get to do that all day, every day. But some really, really good news that I just published today in the Epoch Times, a coalition of 19 state attorneys general have sent civil investigatory and demands to all six of the top mega banks in the United States, Goldman Sachs, the Vampire Squid, Bank of America, Citibank, you've got Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, all these banks, Chase. And I talked to several of these attorneys general, some on the record, some not, and several of them sent me statements. I encourage people to go read this. These 19 state attorneys general are saying, look, these mega banks have openly and flagrantly jumped in bed with the United Nations. Okay, they've all joined this UN Net Zero Banking Alliance or Net Zero Financial Alliance. And what this UN umbrella requires them to do is shift their lending and investment portfolios away from anything that the UN says is bad for global warming. So hydrocarbon energy, right? Power plants, coal mining, oil exploration, refineries, anything like that, that's got to be cut out of the lending portfolios and the investment portfolios of these mega banks under this UN program that all these banks signed up for. A lot of these states, they depend very heavily on those industries. Also, agriculture, right? You can't be financing cows because, cow flatulence and cow burps supposedly contribute to global warming. So these state attorneys general, and when I talked to them, they sounded real serious. They are going after these guys. First, they're going to get the information. They're going to get the data. They're going to get the records. And then if necessary and appropriate, several told me they're going to go after them for serious, serious consequences. And many of them also said they are now working with their legislatures to pass really strong laws on this. One of the things that I heard over and over again from these state AGs is that these banks, these investment companies, they are fiduciaries, right? They have an obligation, a financial obligation to their clients, to their investors, to their shareholders, to make money, right? That's their job in the law. You're supposed to make money for your shareholders. Wasting money on global warming nonsense or woke stuff or promoting LGBTism, none of that is a good use of your clients' money. None of that is a good use of your investors' money. And so, you know, I'm not a betting person, but if I were, I'd say we're going to see some real action from these guys within the next few months. And then come 2023, when legislatures start meeting again, I think we're going to see some really tough legislative action as well.
You know, you're a great journalist at the Epoch Times, at the New American. You have your own website as well, the Sentinel, Liberty Sentinel, right?
That's right, libertysentinel.org.
Libertysentinel.org. Of course, I have interviewed here regularly and been a big fan. We had her here in our studio a year ago, June, as part of the America's Frontline Doctors series she hosted that we filmed. I've been a big fan of Michelle Malkin for years. I'm sure you are as well.
Yep. Yeah, wonderful lady. Yep, I serve on a board with her, and she's just on the front lines.
Have you heard the sad news?
Freedom. No, what happened?
She is announcing she, after 30 years, she is done writing. She's turning her, she's going to stop writing her column.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she say why?
Yeah, yeah. Here it is. I want to get your
response. Man, this first I heard of this.
Yeah, it's breaking news tonight, right here. I heard it today, and I was like, what? I texted her a while ago. An ending, but not the end. She started writing her column in 1992. Gets down here, talks about what's happening with American journalism, the liberal media, what's going on. But she says conservative media is not much better.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's dominated by snot-nosed D.C. libertarian elites from overpriced universities who slavishly promote free market capitalism and cast big government as our greatest enemy, while private Silicon Valley corporations and their nonprofit allies crush nationalist dissent, handcuff free speech, and deplatform free thinkers through censorship, hard and soft, and lawfare, systematic abuse of the courts to harm political critics. Because of my peacefully expressed reporting, opinions, and speeches, my family has been punished and stigmatized, my reputation tarnished, and my voice squelched. It's not big government that waged this war on my career. It's a constellation of vindictive, wrong-think police in the private sector, from the Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League to foreign newspapers and moneyed interests that have no business influencing American politics, to so-called conservative swamp creatures and profiteers such as Bill Kristol, make me vomit, Jonah Goldberg, Mona Sharon, and Ben Shapiro. Ben, who I think was promoting the vaccine forever and ever and ever until he finally saw the light. I've never been a big Shapiro fan anyway. And even to former colleagues at the Fox News Channel, which blacklisted me several years ago and told a friend of mine who was a guest on Tucker Carlson's show not to say my name after Antifa rioters had attacked me and others on stage at a Back the Blue rally in Denver a few years ago. My friend ignored the warning. God bless him. And she goes on to say she has no regrets, wants to thank the people in her life that helped her get where she's at, particularly her father and some of her teachers. And there you go. Wow. That is really, really sad news tonight.
It is. Man, that is terrible. And I'm almost tempted to say, Michelle, don't let them win. We need you to continue fighting. But, you know, I'm sure she thought about this, and I'm sure she prayed about it. I'm sure she knows what's best for her and her family. But that is a real loss. There are very few people who have a demonstrated track record like her of displaying courage and principle, even in the face of relentless lies and relentless hate from the totalitarians.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I've never been, I mean, Bill Kristol, I interviewed him when he was Dan Quayle's chief of staff. I interviewed him. He was an arrogant jerk then. Jonah Goldberg, you know, I think he was a harsh, harsh never Trumper from the very beginning. Ben Shapiro, he's just given me red flags all over the place for years. And wasn't he also a big promoter of the vax for a while?
He was. And we, you know, what was really interesting, we found out that Facebook was shadow boosting Ben Shapiro. How do you get shadow boosted by a fascist corporation that hates conservatives with such a passion? That tells me that he is one of the fake conservative leaders that are being propped up to mislead conservatives. True conservatives are shadow. I just posted that article I mentioned to you from the Epoch Times earlier today. Facebook showed it to a grand total of 10 people. Right, I've got almost 10,000 people who clicked to follow my page. Facebook showed it to, what is that? My math is not good. It's like 0.01% or something. Ben Shapiro, on the other hand, gets shadow boosted. And so, I don't trust the guy.
No, I don't trust him. I haven't ever trusted Ben Shapiro. I know that'll make some people mad, but who do they? If they like Ben Shapiro, it's either because they're not a real conservative or they haven't done their homework, in my opinion, on Ben Shapiro. Let me leave you with some good news since you just mentioned Facebook, because I saw an article I posted up at worldviewreport.com. Here it is. Meta fined over $24 million for campaign finance violations. Facebook, now known as Meta, fined $24 million for campaign finance violations. Couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. Right. Have you heard that today? Man, had you heard that?
I have. And did you see their share prices? Oh, man, it's cratering. And they deserve it. You know what? I've said for a long time, Brandon, I cannot believe that the shareholders of these companies have not filed lawsuits yet. PayPal shareholders, Facebook shareholders. Why are you sitting around letting these fascist corporations ban customers and destroy their business and lose profit for the sake of their evil woke ideology? We were just talking about the fiduciary responsibility of these institutions. The board members of these companies have an obligation to be good stewards of their shareholders' resources and to make money for them. When you're like PayPal and you're saying we're going to ban customers, we're going to or Twitter, right? We're going to ban Donald Trump, the most popular user on the platform. I think they should have been sued.
Well, here we go. PayPal public policy director is a current World Economic Forum young global leader, and I guess they're going to go back to their plan of fining people $2,500 for so-called spreading misinformation. Quickly, too, I don't know if you saw this tonight, Project Veritas, they got a whistleblower from the FBI showing this pamphlet the FBI agents are getting. What are election crimes? Well, election crimes now can include misinformation that upsets the public. Look out, you might have the FBI knock your door down and drag you off to a Gestapo prison.
Man, that is amazing.
Are you hearing that for the first time too tonight?
That is one of the reasons I love watching your show. I always learn so much. So,
well, the sad reality is I sit for hours a day putting the show together as you do on yours, and it's amazing what you can find. But you have to search to find the articles, because they're not going to be at one spot on one page, and certainly not with the mainstream pages. But as always, we love what you do, and you're here every day on Lindell TV One. What time?
3:30 to 4 Central. That's 4:30 to 5 Eastern, and that's on Lindell 2, and then it rebroadcasts every morning and every night on Lindell 1.
Okay, and Liberty Journal, LibertySentinel.org.
That's right, LibertySentinel.org.
Thank you for being with us. You might want to stay and listen to the next guest for 10 minutes, because the folks that produced the movie The Mules, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, the judge is giving them until the 31st of this month to turn over their sources, their confidential sources, or go to jail.
Oh, wow. I will be standing by in the green room listening. So thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it. Alex Newman, folks, check out his website and all he's doing between the New American, the Epoch Times, Liberty Sentinel, and Lindell TV, Frank Speech. He's a busy guy, one of our favorites. All right, joining me now is former state senator Patrick Colbeck, literal rocket scientist Patrick Colbeck. He alerted Mike Lindell as we got off the air at 7 o'clock, who alerted me of his tweet. Thank you for joining us, Patrick. I know you've been slammed with media interviews tonight. This is breaking news. Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht are being threatened with going to jail, contempt of court, by a judge if they don't turn over their confidential sources and researchers related to 2,000 mules, correct?
Yeah, so let's put this in context. We have a company that they're not refuting the fact that this information was resident on Chinese Communist Party servers that had personally identifiable information on 1.8 million American poll workers. That's the type of information that could be used to go off and obtain their network credentials for managing our elections. That's the type of information that puts these families at risk of influence operations that could encourage them to go off and manipulate the results of our election. There. Furthermore, this is data that should never have been let outside of the purview of Koenig Incorporated, because they signed a contract with LA County and, frankly, the state of California that precludes the sharing of this information with third parties. So instead of Koenig being prosecuted, what the judge is doing is holding Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips in contempt of court for not revealing their sources. Now, Catherine and Greg are very concerned about that the release of the source of their information would put that source at risk. And of course, if Catherine and Greg go to jail in today's wonderful society of suicidings in jail, they are put at risk. And I'm not saying that flippantly, by the way.
Of course, I agree with you 100%. It's not flippant. It's not over the top. That's how corrupt our system is, down to the prisons and jails, and the whole system is corrupt as it can be.
Yeah, and so I'm concerned for their safety. I'm concerned for the safety of their sources. I mean, reporters all the time get to secure the identity of their sources, right? I mean, not since Obama, because Obama's the one that started, spying on reporters like Cheryl Atkinson and putting pressure on them to reveal all their information. Since that point in time, a lot of the media, you'd think that they'd be up in arms about this kind of stuff, about revealing sources. But apparently this Judge Hoyt in a federal court in Houston, Texas, has threatened, as you already outlined here, to put Catherine and Greg in jail if they don't reveal the identity of their sources by October 31st. And I'll tell you, that is sad that the judge is forcing them to decide between whose life do they want to spare.
And tell us again where this judge is. What is it, state judge? And if so, what state?
Yeah, we got to be careful about how we share that information around him. Let's pray that he find some wisdom and kindness in his heart to actually do what's right in this case. But he's in Houston. He's federal court in Houston. His name is Judge Hoyt. And it just seems it was a very contentious court hearing today, I hear. And we just got to make sure that the focus is on who actually is, guilty of the crime here. And that is the folks that are selling our proprietary information over to foreign nations so that they can go off and subvert the integrity of our elections.
Okay, so it is a federal court. That was my issue. I didn't know if it was a federal
yes.
court or a state court. And again, federal you're court. Right. We're law-abiding people. We want to obey the laws as best of our ability. We want people to – now, of course, the name of the judge is out there. And, of course, we want to see people just pray for the judge, have the judge look at the law of our land, make a good decision. People don't need to be doing anything aggressive or being outside the law. So we don't share the name of the judge or anything for any reason other than to inform the public that it is a federal judge. But, again, people need to be peaceful. They need to be law-abiding. And they just simply need to pray for this judge that he would rule according to the Constitution, the laws of our nation, the First Amendment. Again, journalism has been so revered even on the left. I mean, remember the Pentagon Papers and all those things from way back then during the Vietnam War? Many people on the left, which brings up a good question, where is the ACLU? Where are the people on the left as those on the right want to defend the, the Fourth Estate, journalism?
Well, I'm going to kind of expand the concerns around Koenig and why it's, obviously we got to fight for our First Amendment rights. We got to fight for freedom of speech. We got to fight for the ability to go off and share important information around the security of our elections. But I want people to also understand this same company, Koenig, they actually have software called School Brief. And this is in our schools. This isn't just dealing with our elections. This is in our schools. And why is that important? Because over a year ago, the Chinese Communist Party in China passed a law that said that all expatriates like Eugene Yu, who's the CEO of Koenig, and we actually have, I'll get into that in just a sec, Kanakoa the Great has some great articles and done some great research on Koenig and the Koenig CEO. Because of this law that the Chinese government passed over a year ago, they are required, these expatriates and Chinese companies are required to share any information they capture in the countries in which they're resident with the Chinese intelligence service back in China. So we already shown that their Polchi software that they implemented in LA County, they also implemented in Detroit, where I live, just live right outside of Detroit, in the same county I live in. They've already shared that information, but this same company has software that's used in our schools. They also have contracts with our military, so all the Yukawa votes. So this software is installed on communication equipment that our military uses to cast their votes. So once you've compromised and provided one portal into this military equipment, you can think that this equipment may have access to more information than just the voting intention of our military, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So this is a concern across the board. It's probably one of the attorneys in the case highlighted that this is the single largest data breach in American history. That should be the focus of this court trial. That should be the focus of all the trials that are going on regarding election fraud. But instead, what they're doing is attempting to prosecute the people that are actually, you know, bringing this information to light. And that should be a concern. That should send the chill up the spine of every single American.
We got to hurry and wrap this up. But is the judge wanting this information because he's concerned that these informants have somehow broken the law? Why is he wanting this information, or who wants it?
Koenig's CEO is accused. I mean, I think in their filing, it's been a while since I've looked through this, but they're accusing him of stealing that information. And Greg and Catherine maintain that this is information that can be obtained in public. With publicly available tools and methods that are out there, and so it's just something that was information that was actually shared by Koenig. And actually, if you go out to GitHub, which is a code sharing platform, there's a lot of different information on Koenig software and Koenig platform that you can get out on GitHub, which is available to everybody, that actually provides mechanisms for getting access to this information. And this is information actually shared by Koenig developers. So I just encourage folks to keep Greg and Catherine in their prayers. I mean, they're being forced to make a very difficult decision, and I just appreciate patriots like them.
Absolutely. And Patrick is the author of the book, 2020 Coup, that you can get at mystore.com. Mystore.com. What's the promo code?
It's Meddling Kids, and it's the 2020 Coup. And Meddling Kids is a promo code.
Thank you, Patrick, for bringing us this breaking story tonight.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Not gonna lie.
Patrick Kolbeck checking in. Before we go, folks, we appreciate all we do. Don't forget about my foundation. It exists, our foundation, our mission statement, to use the technology in all my programs to proclaim the truth of a Christian worldview, to help people understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. You can support us online even now at wvwfoundation.com. It's what helps support, put out my books at cost, put out my free documentaries for free, so much of what I do, my programs for free. wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. You can also use our order line at 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Make a contribution on that donation order line as well. And if you want to send a contribution through the mail, you'll find our mailing address on that same website, wvwfoundation.com. Thank you for your support and all the different ways that are available. Mystore.com, wvwtvstore.com, mypillow.com, and wvwfoundation.com. Fast-paced program with a lot of breaking news. Thanks for watching. Till tomorrow, I'm Brandon House. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate all the radio shows that I present to you that are free at worldviewradio.com? How about all the TV shows? I'm on TV 4 hours a day, and you can watch all of it for free at wvwtv.com. It's free for you, but it's not free for me. Do you know I spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills? If you appreciate all the free radio shows, all the free TV shows, guess what? I need your support. We are a listener-supported broadcast. How about my new Worldview Report? You know that's been picked up by 6 different television networks? We don't charge them. We let them take that for free. We let a lot of different networks pick up our programming free of charge. But guess what? It costs, well, tens of thousands of dollars to produce these shows each and every month. Our radio shows, our TV shows, the IT guys that maintain the websites and the Roku channel and all we do. We need your support. And one way you can do it is by making a contribution right now at wvwfoundation.com. We really need your support. wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. You can also call this number. This number now is only for making a contribution or ordering products online. It's not a customer support number where you call and ask a bunch of questions. The people who answer this phone are only for taking your order or where you can make a contribution. And that number is 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. And again, you can also make a contribution online at wvwfoundation.com, or you could use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee. That's Collierville, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. So there's your three ways to support us: through the mail, over the phone, or online. However you support us, and how much, doesn't matter. The fact you support us is so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your support.